Hello, everyone. I'm Stephen Strang, and welcome to the Strang Report podcast. Today, we're going to talk about one of my favorite subjects, and that is Israel and the Jewish people. And my guest today is Paul Wilbur, who's well known in our Christian circles for his music. He's probably the premier musician of sort of Israeli Hebrew type of singing that we sing in our churches a lot. And the reason I invited him to talk about Israel and the fact that it's important to stand with Israel is that we are sponsoring an event on November 13th, 2025. I realize that some people will watch this after it's over, but I think that the subject matter is very important because standing with Israel, loving Israel, is something we need to do over time and not just in 2025. And we're doing this podcast very soon after the peace was declared between Israel and Hamas. It's a historic time. We're so thankful to the Lord for that. We're praying that the peace holds. So let me start by welcoming Paul, and let's talk about the importance of standing with Israel. I know you've been over there many times, and you know, you've ministered in many ways, and you know, the thing that concerns me, and I'll just get this out of the way at the beginning, is that there are some studies that support among evangelical Christians is less than it used to be. Now, it's not gone away, but it's less than it used to be, and I don't understand it. And I'm hoping that in our small way, this podcast can help persuade people that it's very important. It's a biblical mandate. So maybe I should ask you why you stand with Israel and why you think that other Christian believers should too.
Well, first of all, thank you, Steve, for the opportunity to be with you here. It's a huge subject. We're living in, I think, probably the most remarkable times that anyone who reads their Bible would say since the first century, since the time that Jesus walked the earth. The days that we're living in, you know, everybody around the world in I don't know how many languages knows the song I recorded back in Jerusalem in 1998 called These Are the Days of Elijah. I've even seen some of our armed forces singing this song arm in arm in their chapels. It's just, Steve, we live in the most remarkable of times. And I would say, you know, this is a subject we could speak on for days, but why do I support, stand with Israel? It's because I read my Bible. I'm really concerned about some very prominent conservative voices who have in recent days and months taken a very strong stand against Israel. It concerns me because I know some of these people do read their Bibles, but what voices are they listening to? I mean, there's commandments for us as believers in Jesus. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, Psalm 122, verse 3. Isaiah 62, the Lord says, I've placed watchmen on your walls, all Jerusalem. Give me no rest, give yourselves no rest until what? Until I make Jerusalem a praise in all of the earth. There are hundreds and probably thousands of passages of scripture that we could highlight. And but for those who read their Bibles, if you can honestly read your Bible, pray, consider these admonitions, invitations, and even commandments, and still take a stand against the establishment and the preservation and the protection of the modern state of Israel, I don't know that there's anything I could say to convince you otherwise. There needs to be a revelation and understanding, inspiration from the Holy Spirit to make all of this make sense to someone who takes a stand today against the state of Israel.
Well, so well said. And, there's so many things we can talk about, but one of them is that you and I were born not long after the State of Israel was born. And I grew up as a small child in a Christian church. My father was a pastor, knowing that the creation of Israel, which was just a few years before, was a modern miracle and that it was a fulfillment of a prophecy. Something to the effect of, shall a nation be born in a day? I always believed that. I always knew that Jesus and his disciples were Jewish. I've been told that some Christians don't even seem to know that. They think that Jesus was Catholic, but he was Jewish. And when I first went to Israel the first time in 1979 with Jamie Buckingham, who I know you remember, I had this sense that I was going home. I hadn't expected it, but suddenly things in the Bible came to life. Jerusalem itself, the Sea of Galilee. I mean, we could rattle off a lot of things, but it was like these places really exist that Jesus walked and talked and taught. And so I have always considered myself a Christian Zionist, even though that term wasn't used as I was growing up. I'm proud to be a Christian Zionist. And that's just, a Zionist is someone who believes that Israel has a place in Zion, the city on a hill, Israel. And so I think in fact, one of the things I'm going to share at our rally is I'm going to give like just a very brief history of Christian Zionism, because Christian Zionism actually predated Jewish Zionism. It's a rather remarkable thing that happened. And there's a very nice museum that Mike Devens did in Jerusalem called Friends of Zion that any viewers who go to Israel, you need to be sure to put that on your list. But it is basically a museum to Christian Zionism. And I think a lot of Jewish people don't even realize that there's so many of us that are Zionists. What do you think?
Well, there's a word that is so important here, Steve, that builds bridges and understanding, and it's the word relationship. It's a word that is seldom used, but it's so important. I just returned from Israel. I was there with a group of young Christian influencers, worship leaders, pastors, some with a lot of influence, some who are so well known in the world. Half of the group was from Brazil. And for many of them, it was their first time there in the land. And I can tell you this for sure. Every one of them will tell you their understanding, their sensitivity, everything shifted as soon as they had their feet in the soil and they had an opportunity to run where Jesus walked. There's something about being there. But I guarantee our listeners today, if you can get to our event on November 13th, things will be said and sung. You'll meet people that you never expected to meet. And I believe you can have a major attitude shift with regards to your understanding about Israel, the state of Israel, the importance of being a Christian. Remember, every Christian from the nations was grafted into something, didn't replace something. Some Christian doctrines that have been held onto and preached, as you well know, have been a major roadblock for a Christian understanding about the place, the purpose, and the destiny for the Jewish people and for the modern state of Israel. I want to encourage those who are listening, and if this is prior to November 13th, please make every effort to join us. It is a major opportunity to really have an important cornerstone replaced in your life and theology.
Well, thank you. And that's a good time for me to mention a few details. We're trying to stream this. We haven't worked out all the technical things yet, but it is November 13th. It's going to be in Maitland, Florida, which is right outside Orlando. We're calling it Standing with Israel. It's free admission. It's at the Sheraton Orlando North Hotel. I'll repeat all these things at the end of the program. And you can also check out our website and register with an Eventbrite registration. We have reason to believe that it's going to be a sellout. We've gotten such a good response to start with. And we're getting very good response from the Jewish community. Several of the leaders in the Jewish community have been to a few of our earlier events. We haven't done an event like this in Orlando since before COVID. So I felt especially, and I'm glad I thought to mention this, with all the anti-Semitism that we're seeing on college campuses, that we're seeing around the country, we're seeing in other countries as well, but we're most concerned about the United States. Because of that, I felt it was important that Christians in Central Florida stand up and say, we stand with Israel. And that makes me think of something you don't know because you live in Texas now, but we have these tags, these specialty license tags for the cars. I think maybe they call them vanity tags. You know, you can get one for the University of Florida, the University of Central Florida. You can get one for Save the Whales. And one of my friends in the legislature, who's actually going to be at our event, Scott Plakin, was instrumental in a bill to have a license tag for Israel. It's got the Star of David. It's got an orange blossom on it. And it says, Florida stands with Israel. And I have one on the back of my car. And I just think it's, you know, you pay a couple extra dollars for your license tag. But I just think it's very good because we need to do things that speak up and say we stand with Israel. So why do you think, you mentioned some of these conservative leaders, we won't mention their names, but people probably know who they are. They're people that I've watched and respected and have kind of quit watching them because it makes me sick. Why do you think this is happening? Is this part of the anti-Semitic thing that's happened? And where do you think the Lord is in all this?
Well, I think, Steve, what it does is highlight that the warfare that we are waging is primarily spiritual. And so you need to have spiritual eyes as you read your Bible. You need to have a solidly biblical, spiritual mindset as you listen to the different podcasts, the different folks who have a voice and understand what spirit is speaking to you. There's the spirit of the Lord, and then there's everything else. I'm not a debater. I'm not a good debater. I'm not someone that loves to stand and go back and forth over top of the net with fast shots. But for anyone who is prayerful, thoughtful, reread Romans 9, 10, and 11. And as a Christian, reading your Bible, you will get a very clear understanding of what the Spirit of God is saying about Israel, the place of Jewish people, the end times, the nations. It's all there encapsulated so beautifully. People who you may know, like Pastor Don Finto, he was for many, many years the pastor of Belmont Church in Nashville.
I know him well. He's up in years now.
He's 97, and he still travels the globe with as much energy as anyone. But he pastored Michael W. Smith still does, Amy Grant. And those three chapters, he was reading on an airplane going someplace, thinking the nerve of these Christians to say this and that, and I don't understand. He read those three chapters, and the light went on, and he became such an advocate and a lover and a supporter of Israel, the Jewish people, end times, and he's still after it. The Bible is our main source, not podcasters, not those who have the loudest and biggest voice, but the Word of God. And Jesus said that all the prophets and the Psalms spoke of him. That's why most of my music is drawn from the Psalms and the prophets. It all speaks of him. You just have to have ears that hear and eyes that see, which is something I pray for all the time.
I was recently privileged to be able to attend the Feast of Tabernacles celebration that was right here in Orlando. It was a very different kind of event than we're having, but it was more along what the Jews call Sukkot. In fact, there was a booth, a Sukkot, on the stage, and I sent a picture of it to a couple of my Jewish friends. They couldn't believe that a church actually had a Sukkot. But, you know, we think it's our kind of our Jewish roots. We like that. We enjoy learning about that. But your music has been so influential because it is the Word of God, the Psalms, the prophets, as you said. So talk to me maybe about how you got started. I know you've been a musician virtually your whole life, and you know, you've had one best-selling album. Do they still call them albums in this new day?
Sure.
Recordings after another. Just talk to us about the music and also what people can expect. We're going to make as much time as possible on the program for music, because I think that's such an important part. And also because I think our Jewish friends will really enjoy it as well.
The universal language, it's still true. You know, Steve, I've been, since recording Shalom Jerusalem with Integrity Music, the world's largest producer of praise and worship music, in the 90s, well, the latter part of the 80s, the 90s began with Don, and just amazing. But for almost 30 years, I was with Integrity Music longer than the founder. But my dad handed me a guitar when I was 9 years old that he bought out of a Sears and Roebuck black and white catalog. Just after World War II had finished. And he was a violinist. My dad was a very good musician. And he taught me a simple C scale on that Sears Silver Tone guitar, $20 guitar. I wish my guitars cost $20 now. Anyway, so that's where it all started. Through grade school and junior high and high school, I loved being a part of the choirs, the special singing groups, the musical dramas. Went to undergraduate school in college, got a four-year degree in music education, then moved with an emphasis in voice. Then I moved to Italy because I wanted to be an opera singer, and lived in Milan, Italy, and studied privately, came back, taught public school back in Cleveland, Ohio, for 2 years, went to Indiana University and finished a master's degree in vocal performance there. And that's where I met Jesus, and he became Lord of my life. So everything shifted for me. I no longer wanted to be an opera singer with all those sad stories of everybody dies and nobody gets what they were hoping for, and traded that for the scriptures. And very soon after receiving Jesus as Lord of my life, I had a group called Harvest. The NIV Bible was just released And my little group called Harvest was signed to Zondervan Records, went from there to Maranatha Records in the 80s, and then in the 90s until just recently with Integrity Music. And most of my recordings have been done live at huge expense in Jerusalem or in the Negev or in Gedi, where the International Christian Embassy holds the Feast of Tabernacles every year, down by the Dead Sea in the desert. And so all of my music has had this Bible, Hebrew roots, Jewish roots. A lot of these terms have lots of different interpretations, but for me, it's Bible, mostly prophets and Psalms, but obviously through a new covenant, a new testament lens, because Jesus is Lord of my life. He changed everything for me. He's the reason I sing, and he's the theme of every song, whether it's Psalm 23 or Isaiah 62 or Matthew 23, he's at the center of it. And I just believed, Steve, that if people will sing the words of the Bible, remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. And I've always believed that if I can get people to sing the words of the scriptures, there's a good chance for them to believe the words of the scriptures. And I pretty much leave it at that. The Bible speaks very well for itself.
And as we sing your songs, the Psalms and the prophets and so forth, we're getting the word of God in our hearts and our minds and our spirits, which makes it alive and part of us rather than just words on a page. So let's talk about what people can expect to see with live streaming, as we hope they'll do, we'll be able to do. And we're going to have dancers there, and there'll be some flags. We have a huge Israeli flag, an American flag. We'll sing the Star Spangled Banner. We'll start. I learned this from John Hagee with his Night Star in Israel. It's so magnificent to sing the Star Spangled Banner. Or actually, we sing first, usually, Hatikva, which is the Israeli national anthem. Hatikva in English means the hope. And it's a beautiful song, and it's very, we'll be singing it, or it's going to be performed, and we can sing along with it because we put the words up on the screen, the Hebrew words with English letters, so people can kind of sing along. And then you're going to minister. So just describe what people can expect.
Well, if the folks that come have ever been with me in a concert service, it's pretty typical. We'll sing some of our very well-known songs that we've carried with us over 90 nations in the world in 6 different languages. And usually a celebration of praise breaks up. We're going to be able to see that because I know there's going to be some dancers with us and banners and flags, and they usually stimulate some of the folks that are there with us in the auditorium to join in simple line dancing like at a Jewish wedding. And so the sound will be kind of our own mixture of sound. I've been told many times we've created our own genre, but songs like Days of Elijah, Praise Adonai, the song Adonai was actually nominated for Song of the Year for Dove Award back in 2006. We actually won a Dove Award for the best Spanish praise and worship album back in the early 2000s. But it will be celebratory. It will be the scriptures. It will be fun. It'll put a smile on your face. it won't make you uncomfortable. It will provoke you to want to jump in with both feet. We may find ourselves having to restrain some of you, but that's okay.
Well, I want to invite people to go to our website, which is called nighttohonorisrael.org. There's a way to register. We're asking people to register free because, like I said, we're expecting standing room only. So we will give preference to those who reserve seats, of course. And Larry Huck, who was just recently named by some organization in Israel as the third strongest supporter of Israel in the Christian community, he's going to be our speaker. I'm doing a podcast with him. We're also raising $100,000 to buy an ambulance for Maged David Adom, which is the Israeli equivalent of the American Red Cross. And we're doing this to show unselfish love to the Jewish people. I think that's very important. We've already raised half of it, and in a later podcast and that evening, we'll invite other people to participate as we have in the past. Every time we've done one of these Nights to Honor Israel, or this year we're calling it Standing with Israel, we've always done something to show unconditional love. So it's not just words, but we're actually doing something, and it's an opportunity for people to involve. So we only have a few more seconds. Let me ask you to give us the last word.
Well, I want to encourage all those who are listening to make an extra effort. This is an unusual opportunity. We need to take a stand against the false narratives that are everywhere today. There are three P's, Steve, that I ask people to consider to be activated Bible believers, three P's that you can remember easily to activate in this time of great need. The first P is prayer and praise. The second P is post. Now, whether you have a podcast like this, or you can become a moving billboard, there'll be T-shirts and hats there that night that you can be a living poster as you walk around the world. And the third one is partnering with ministries that you know and trust that are doing the work, and Charisma. And Stephen Strang is one of those ministries. That's why I'm making an effort in a very busy personal schedule to be there with you, Steve, on November 13th, because I believe in the ministry the Lord has given to you, and I want to partner with you to see this effort come to pass and build bridges of love and trust and faithfulness and relationship with the Jewish community. In the days to come, the Bible-believing Christians are going to stand apart as the only real friend that Israel has. I've heard that often in the Jewish community, and we need to show ourselves faithful in this.